So right now we have a very special message for you from a wonderful guest speaker. I actually had the chance to go down and spend a little bit of time with this guest speaker just this past week over the holiday. And you might know him. He's spent a lot of time in ministry. He's also he's definitely learned what it's like to face hardships, struggles, go through trials. And there's actually something he's noticed as well, is that every once in a while, struggles can actually be ushered into our lives by God. And that's what he wants to tell us about this week. But I know he's also a very big Star Trek fan, so I believe we're receiving a pre-recorded transmission, actually. On screen, Lieutenant.
...2021 certainly has been a year that will be remembered for a long, long time to come. In fact, this past Thursday's Thanksgiving, I am sure, was celebrated with a lot of relief as well as exasperation. Troubles and challenges entered into everyone's world, no matter who they are or what they do. To tell you the truth, the people who handled it best, though, were the people who got their eyes off of the natural world and focused their eyes and their faith squarely on the spiritual world. Yet one of the most prominent lessons that a follower of God can and should learn through this trial is that trouble is going to happen, and the best way to handle it is to lean hard into your faith in God. When Jesus walked the earth, his personal rights were certainly infringed on. When Jesus walked the earth, sinful practices had become legal. And when Jesus walked the earth, wrong was packaged and accepted as right in people's homes, in government, and even in houses of worship. Yet Jesus moved through these challenges and fulfilled his life's mission. John 16:33 says, "In this world, you will have trouble. But cheer up," Jesus says, "I have won the battle over the world." Jesus pulled no punches on this subject matter. He said, "You're blessed, matter of fact, when your commitment to God provokes persecution, trouble. The persecution will drive you deeper into God's kingdom." Jesus would reiterate this at the Last Supper as well. John 16:33, Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that you can have peace because of me. In this world, you will have trouble, but cheer up, for I have won the battle over the world." Westbridge, trouble is not only expected, it is not simply inevitable and not just demanding. Trouble, according to what Jesus is saying here, is actually useful. It's useful, and God will use it regularly to affect those who follow him and even affect those who don't. I have very close friends who desire terribly to have children. They have had this desire for over 15 years, and still no pregnancy. I have other friends who have financial difficulties so great that they must sell their house, the one they built together. I have still other friends who have suffered the loss of a loved one so early and so tragic, you wonder if they will ever heal up. Each one of the friends I mentioned are believers in Jesus Christ. Each one of them followed him faithfully, and I would imagine that each of us here has our own unique problem that drives us to God and spurs us to ask, "Why would you allow this to happen, God? Why would you allow problems like this into our world? And I thought that you loved me, Jesus, and wanted the best for me at your own expense." Well, I too have asked God those questions. And as I have searched God's word, as I have listened to him in prayer, and as I have watched my journey with God unfold, he has faithfully and lovingly answered. Now, I don't have all the answers, but for me, I have received enough answers from God to say that I understand. I will accept the problems God ushers into my life, and here is why. And I'd like to share that with you now. Point one, God uses problems to enact directional change. God really brought this truth to light for me when our little Westbridge church was gearing up for its very, very first wedding. Westbridge had no building, but we rented a gymnasium at a local school for a few hours on Saturday nights for our service. Now, the bride and groom-to-be had met God at Westbridge. They had also met each other in this little rented gymnasium. So they decided they wanted to have their wedding at our actual Saturday night service. That's what they wanted. In fact, the wedding would be the Saturday night service. For all of those who they had invited, visitors, regulars, guests, walk-ins, everyone would be invited to this wedding, which would be our Saturday night service. It was the couple's desire to use their wedding as a vehicle to introduce their family and friends to the church that had impacted them so greatly. Well, me, I went wild with delight over this kind of idea. I love when God asks us to do something totally different and totally new to reach people. To me, this idea had God written all over it. I just didn't know if we could pull it off. I talked to the leadership team, and not to my surprise, they replied with a resounding, "Oh yeah, let's go for this, let's do it." And so we did. Well, the week of the wedding finally came, and we got everything ready to turn our 136-seat gym, which weekly we kept informing God we were outgrowing, we were getting bigger, and we wanted to turn it into a beautiful flower garden. This gym would be turned and transformed into a flower garden. I tried to design a wedding service that would teach people and grow our core people while also engaging our wedding guests and, of course, would welcome any weekly visitors that show up for church that night. Well, the week began and everything was shaping up nicely. And let me tell you, we were super, super excited. Then the phone rang. "Hi, Pastor Kleinbell. This is Dawn from the Stuartsville School. The head of the school board made a new ruling this morning, and it says that we will not allow our facility to be rented on a week that contains a holiday. And since this week coming up contains President's Day, you can't use the building this weekend, okay?" Now, I would love to tell you, Westbridge, that my response back to Dawn was one that would put a smile on Jesus' face. But I am ashamed to say it wasn't. I hung up the phone, half dazed, thinking no possible good could come out of this. But before I would allow myself time to criticize, time to question God, why God would allow such a horrible thing to happen, I had time to make a few phone calls. I called my friend Joe. Joe was a founding member of Westbridge Community Church, and Joe had some interaction with the city council. I called him and he agreed to find out what was going on. Another phone call I made was to my friend Jeremy. Jeremy, whose wife worked at a neighboring school district. He agreed to try to find another school for us to meet at in case this one wouldn't work out. After that, all I could do, gang, was hope and pray and deal with this intense questioning in my heart. God, where are you? This is someone's wedding. And these are people who wanted to try to advance your kingdom with this wedding. Now, standing here today, I find it impossible to confer the sick feelings of angst and desperation that I felt at that time. I was shocked. I was off balance at God's seemingly irresponsible allowance of this injustice. The weight on my chest grew heavier and heavier as the few precious days before the wedding passed. Jeremy's return phone call came back first. Pastor Drew, I talked to the head of the school board in the next town over, and he informed me that their policy in the town next door forbids them to rent their school to any churches. I finished my call with him, but I decided, Pastor Drew, to call that guy back. I called him back just to inform him that their practice of not renting to a church was actually illegal. Well, I got nowhere, Jeremy told me, but the bottom line is, we're out. We're not going to the next town over. Ugh, where are you, God? Then Joe's return phone call arrived. His was a bit more hopeful. Pastor Drew, I talked to a councilman, to the head, and he in turn is going to talk to the head of the school board. They'll let us know if we can use the building this weekend, but nothing right now. Great. The clock is ticking, 3 days till the wedding, and Thursday afternoon, the phone rang. It was Dawn from the Stuartsville school. Pastor Drew, I don't know what you guys did, but the head of the school board called and lifted the restriction just for this one weekend. No one here can believe he did it, as he never goes back on anything he said. But you've got the school back for this weekend. Well, Westbridge, the wedding was back on. And oh, by the way, we made sure the bride and groom knew absolutely nothing about this. Well, that Saturday night, that wedding was a mountaintop experience for all who were there. The wedding went beautifully, and many of the wedding guests and visitors shared how powerfully they were touched by the entire event. The bride and groom had indeed connected their friends and family with God for just that evening, while never knowing how big God had come through in the final hours before their wedding. That night, as I walked across the parking lot to my truck, I couldn't help feeling how the past few days, that week, had been an awful lot of trouble, an awful lot of stress, and a lot of problems, just to arrive back to the place where we were at before Dawn's first fateful phone call. To me, it seemed like a lot of trouble for absolutely nothing. Little did I know, but God had a reason for all of it. 2 months passed by. 2 months after the wedding, Jeremy receives a phone call from the head of the neighboring school district. Apparently, Jeremy's enlightenment that the school district's policy that it was illegal had ignited a major concern in the school board. They, in turn, investigated their policy, found out that it was truly and indeed illegal, and they quickly moved to amend it. So much so that they eagerly wanted to avoid any ramifications from their earlier policy and humbly offered us their 430-seat auditorium with a stage, with children's classrooms, and at 1/4 the price we were paying for our little 136-seat gym. Needless to say, we accepted and moved from Stuartsville into Phillipsburg. Friends, it was only then that I understood the problem God had ushered into our lives during that wedding week. God had ushered in the whole process to bring about a directional change for our church. God's purpose was to provide us with a bigger building that we needed. The problem God sent us hadn't been about the wedding really at all. It was all about moving us to a bigger, better, more affordable location. God had changed our direction, but he did it his way. My way would have been like, hey, Jesus, just simply send me a dream something when I'm sleeping, maybe a cool vision in the sky, or even a mysterious, untraceable email, that would have been a lot easier for you to send me a directional change than what happened and what my blood pressure getting elevated to massive levels. But God deemed it necessary to use dynamite to change the course that we were on. Now, I wish that back then I had a glowing testimony of my unswerving faith in God during that wedding week. But guys, I don't have that. But since that week, I do understand that God does indeed usher problems into our lives. And although I don't know what he's doing, he absolutely knows what he's doing. But there's more. Point two, it's all about becoming more like Christ. Counselor Leslie Vernick explains it like this. When we come to Jesus and accept him as our Savior, we begin an interactive relationship with him, one where he seeks to shape our character to become more like his. Leslie says that unfortunately these days, most Christians aren't looking for a deep personal change, and they are not looking for growth. Instead, what they're looking for is a quick fix. They want relief from a problem. Learning to respond rightly when problems arise takes maturity, it takes wisdom, and it takes hard work. And these traits are only developed by handling and coping with problems. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and you may be complete, not lacking anything. Oddly enough, problems are used for our own good when they expose us to who we really are. Problems expose us to our weaknesses, and problems show us areas that we don't fully trust God, those same areas that God wants us to yield to him so that we will trust him more and we will become more like Jesus. I can very easily tell you what my strengths are. Places in my character where I'm a rock. I can also tell you very quickly the areas in my heart where I am not as strong. God doesn't want me or any God follower casually accepting their weaknesses and living with them. Instead, he wants us to change. He wants us to improve. He wants us to grow. When that phone call hit the week of the wedding, God gave me every opportunity to have faith that God was going to do exactly what he ordered up. That problem which God ushered into my life had several hang tags on it. And those hang tags said, oh, this is Drew's opportunity to grow in faith. Oh, this is Drew's opportunity to learn. This is Drew's opportunity to see God come into complete control in every situation. Now, in all honesty, I can't say that I passed that test. But now I realize that it was much more than just a test. It was a training ground. It was a practice field. It was an exercise where I was supposed to learn and I was supposed to grow. And I did. I learned that God can be trusted, that he will ultimately be in control, and that he will provide what is needed. The passage we looked at in James says that it's exactly what is going on in these problems God ushers into our lives. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature. You may be complete and not lack anything. Friends, when God ushers problems into our lives, our first action step is to recognize God is at work. There is no oops, no oops with God. He doesn't drop the ball. He doesn't get blindsided. He doesn't get caught off guard. He is in that situation. He has a reason and a purpose for what is happening. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Nothing God created is hidden from him. His eyes see everything. Friends, that wedding many years ago changed me. My first thought now, when troubles come, are no longer, oh, God missed this one. They're no longer, God won't give me what I need. They're no longer, this shouldn't be happening. No, now, my first thought is, God, what are you up to? I certainly may not be able to see it now, but my faith starts tingling like a spidey sense. And that leads me to our second action step. Trade in angst for peace. God wrote for you and me, cast all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on him. For he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, Amplified Version. Our faith is not something that we give away or that we just hand over to God. No, our faith is a conduit that feeds our minds and our souls. Our faith is something we rely on. We keep using it. We don't just give it away. We keep resting in it. Our faith is something that we continue to find refuge in as it's connected to God. Our faith wasn't given away when we became followers of Jesus Christ. Our faith became our shelter in a storm. Our faith is a surety in times of hopelessness. And our faith is our comfort and our contentment, because there is a purpose for everything we are going through. We believe that. We have faith in that. Our faith gives us strength and courage and confidence because we have faith that our God loves us so much that he gave his only child so that he could have you and me with him eternally. God ushered 400 years of problems into Israel's life while they were in Egypt, all to get them to eagerly go to the promised land. God walked Daniel into a lion's den in order to get King Darius to believe in Daniel's God. And God conjured up a scary 9-foot giant so a little shepherd boy could rise to power over God's people. And it took a cross where Jesus Christ would be taken, to open the doors of heaven to anyone who chooses to believe in God's Son. Westbridge, God will usher problems into our lives. Let's do what Jesus did. Let's bring God glory from it. Would you pray with me? Lord, I want to thank you that at this Thanksgiving season, we can see that you are alive and well. We've watched you over the past 2 years bring an enormous problem to the whole world. And Lord, there are those who handled it well and those who did not handle it well. But Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us here, each of us that you call Westbridge Community Church, help us to weather the storm well. Help us not to just handle COVID and coming out of it well, but any other problems that keep coming to us. Lord, it is our desire to become mature followers of Jesus Christ. We want to be people who trust you. We want to be people who give you glory for what's going on and who can rest in assurance when trouble hits, because we have a God who wants the best for us. We leave ourselves in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.